sincerely. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. And this picks up right after God has given Moses his marching orders. Go deliver my people from Pharaoh. And Moses freaked out a little bit, as most of us do with our instructions when they seem impossible and difficult and we are feeling inadequate. Send somebody else, can't be me, I don't even talk well, have you seen Pharaoh lately? Like all kinds of things in our minds, we argue with the Lord about our instructions, and Moses did the same thing. And beginning in the beginning of chapter 4 in Exodus, when Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice, suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you, suppose they question my experience with the Lord. Anybody else have that? Actually, all you ever have is your story, your testimony. And that is what you're commanded, instructed to do, is be my witnesses. You only have to witness and talk about what you've experienced. If you didn't see it, if you haven't experienced, if you don't know that you know, then You're not a witness. You're not whatever. But if you have a valid experience with the Lord, your instruction, it's this big and it's this small all at the same time. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story of how the Lord found you, where you were, what the process was. You have a story. Refine that story. Get that story. Work on your story. Don't elaborate it, but condense it and get it down so that, like that, you're ready to tell your story. This is your authentication. It's not up for you to convince anybody. Just tell your story. Be another person that tells your story. Do you know our advertisers are very patient with us? They know that you need to see an ad, not just once, unless you're a real impulse buyer, but none of those here. But we need to see something over and over, and you keep seeing it. It pops up on whatever platform you're on, and look, and as you think about it, and you see it again, yeah, I might be able to use that. And then you see it again, that might look really good in my garage. And then you see it again, and you get to where, because you've repeatedly seen it or heard it, you come to this place where you feel more and more confident about the decisions, and so. The Lord working in our life is no different than that. And his voice in our lives is no different than that. It comes, and often he's patient with us. He knows what we struggle with, what we battle. And he wants us to get, he gets us to this point where we believe it enough that we move, that we take an action, and that story, how you came to the point of believing in Jesus, it's all of your stories are unique. They're uniquely different in that, and your story, your genuine story, is your story. And if you tell that and you tell your process, how did you come here? Because sometimes we look at what we believe and we go, you're going to think I'm crazy, right? First thing out of your mouth. You're going to think I'm crazy, but God did this for me. God did that for some of you. Have some wild stories of what the Lord even supernaturally did in your lives. Water from wells that weren't going to have any water. Food in the freezer that wasn't there before you opened the door. I mean, there's some stories sitting right here, because I know all of your stories over the years. We forget about those things sometimes, but that's all part of your testimony. Why do you believe the Lord will provide today? Because he proved to you that he provided yesterday. And you begin to establish yourself, and you start looking at your story, and then this is the value of us having the written word. We read the stories of other people, and we're stirred up. Our faith begins to rise. You do have to have faith. I always encourage, sometimes we're encouraging people, here, try this thing, try that thing. One of my stories when I really had a real revelation of this is when we were on the river with some of the brothers' boys and family, and we were skiing, and several of us were skiing, and we talked Phyllis into getting on the skis. And I'm watching her, and I know she wasn't sure, but you're like, oh yeah, do this, it'll be fun. But I could tell she wasn't convinced herself. So we're like, yeah, we get so confident that you're gonna have fun if you do what I think you can do, that, you know, we talk you into it. Or we throw you off the boat with a pair of skis and it's like ski or drown, you know, that could be too. And finally got up and she started to ski, but I could tell she didn't have that in her heart. And I all of a sudden my heart just like, she's gonna get hurt. Because she doesn't have that knowing inside of her, like, stop, whatever it's gonna, whenever, if ever, and it doesn't really matter if she never skis. And I'm pretty sure that's how the story went. But the point was, I saw, like, she didn't know in her saw. So the Lord wants you to come to a place where you know, you believe, that you're strengthened in your inner man, and then you step out in things. Because when we step out in things, and there's always some uncertainty. It's not like you're 100% locked in, but you've got to come to this place where you believe, or you're going to get eaten alive. Like, don't try this at home. Don't try this till you know that God sent you. Don't try until you go, for better or for worse, I know this is what I'm to do. And the Lord, I'm going to put my hands in the hands, give my life in the hands of a faithful God. He will not lead me to shipwreck. He will take care of me. He'll carry me. And Moses was struggling with that uncertainty, and he begins his rhetoric. You know, I can't talk. I can't this. I can't that. They won't believe me. I know them. I grew up here. I know how they think. You ever have that kind of unbelief around your neighborhood? I know what they're thinking. I know what they say about people that go to church. I know what they say about people that believe in Jesus. We're all idiots. Like, I already know all that. It's like, go tell your neighbor. Like, no, I already know how my neighbor feels about me and Christianity and everything else. So in verse 2, the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." What's in your hand? Interesting how the Lord plays it. What's in your hand? He's going to work on Moses' belief system. He's gonna give him an upgrade. Here it comes. Firmware update, upgrade, boom, you know. And Moses, of course, has his rod. It was not a special rod. It wasn't a fancy rod. It wasn't a decorative rod. It was a shepherd's rod. Used to walk and nudge sheep. It was a cattle barn, out of the barn. He kept it at the back door. You had your rod. So don't glorify it. It wasn't shiny necessarily. It was his rod. And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. So, dang, it's a snake. Like, how many of you, if a snake was, you know, thrown down in front of your feet, that you wouldn't jump right out of your seat and run to the back of the building? Like, unless some of you are weird with snakes and think they're nice or pets or whatever, but that's strange and unnatural, I'm just saying. Especially if you knew what kind of snake it was. Especially if you knew that snake bites and kills, you know, it leaves a mark that leaves you dead. And so it was real enough, whatever this was, it was real. He fled from it. He ran. He moved. He gasped. And then the worst thing of all happens. So, like, if you're not impressed with that miracle, how about this one? Here's an act of faith. We're going to put it to work right now. Pick it up by its tail. Now, any idiot knows, like, you don't really want to grab it by its head, but you definitely don't want to grab it by its tail. It has full access. reach around and get you, right? We've seen the wilderness shows and whatever, and here's how you pick up a snake. I'm like, no, you get a gun and you shoot it. That's how you pick up a snake. Or a big stick or a hoe. You haven't seen anything passionate until you've seen a woman trying to kill a snake with a hoe or some kind of, garden tool. And they get at it. Act of faith. I don't know how he got there. This was a real snake. And now he was rodless, because actually that's part of one of the things. You don't want to show up at the party rodless. And so that's what you use for snakes and critters and whatever else. And his weapon of defense was now on the ground hissing at him. And the Lord, man, you stretch me. That's the point, son. Pick it up by its tail. Jeez. I ponder that, just that moment alone. Oh my gosh. Everything's going to depend in the future on this moment. And he reaches down out of sheer obedience and probably I'm dead. But I won't have to go talk to Pharaoh, so, maybe it's okay. He reaches down, and when he touches the snake, what does it do? Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a, boom, rod in his hand. And everything that he did, the entire deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, were by the power of that rod. And that rod symbolizes his word. And so we need to first of all see the power of the word, the power to the extent that it scares you to death. In order for this to work, in order for you to understand, in order for you to take confidence in a gun or a weapon that you have, you need to have shot it and see what it does to a target, right? You've got to see the power of it. Experience the power of it. And we need to see this. If you haven't seen the power of the word, that it scares you half to death, then I'm not sure you've seen yet. I know this isn't great preacher language, but honestly, it's that powerful. It's that serious. We need to see the power behind this, and then we need to experience reaching out and taking it and having it as now, but this power now is my protection. It is what I walk in. I carry this now. Because a shepherd's rod, his rod, it was boom. Kind of like he didn't leave home without his iPhone or his rod, that kind of thing. Yeah. Now you've got that. Don't you turn around and come back and get your iPhone if you forgot it? We're pathetic. I know. It's ridiculous. But it's a picture of you're dependent on it. You use it. You keep it. And I'm going to submit to you, we all need to get serious about this. I'm calling myself to this. I'm calling all of us to come to a place where we don't just in it, but we really get serious about embracing the word and using it as we obey the Lord and deliver the people of God out of the clutches of the enemy and our whole country and everything. It's a matter of life and death. We got to get it right. We can't fight like they do. There's a battle. There's a suppression. There's an oppression. This to cover our mouth, to shut our voice. I mean, all through worship, I'm like, I could just stop and start preaching, like because we're fighting for our lives to keep this thing going, keep this open, and we're being silenced and pushed down in every way. The pressure to not meet, and there's an attack now on singing. Worship, opening your mouth. I mean, I have heard it before, and then I saw it again this week, and it went deep. It was like an oppressive thing. Like it caused me to step back. Like this feeling of this coming, this suppression. And I'm like, I'm going to end up in jail over this, because I won't do this. I won't stop speaking my voice. I won't stop doing. As we came back, I wrote out some of the mandates of the church. We have mandates to fulfill too, from a higher place than even the government. We have mandates to fulfill, to assemble, to gather. These are part of our mandates. And so we've got to be careful giving up too much room. And I don't know how to walk this out. I'm not sure. But we need to get really good at this part I know. We've got to get good at being in a place where we know and we find the true influence with heaven. And I told you, I've been on this search. So let's look at Isaiah 55. I've been on this search, like, Lord, okay, I can get cranked up, I can rant about something, I can be passionate about things, but what's the real influence? How do I really change things? How do I walk through and leave it different behind me than it was when I came to it? How do I not become a part of the problem? How do I not engage in that same fight that only kills, steals, and destroys? How do I do that? So Isaiah 55, it's been one of my favorite scriptures forever, and in verses 10 through 11, says, "For as the rain comes down," and it's describing the word. And so this is first step, discover the truth. On the second step is make it part of you, like to declare it and proclaim it, and we're going to get into that. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. And so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So this is the Lord speaking. And we need to move out of our confidence in ourselves, totally. I was sharing again with someone. I've shared this here, that within the last year or so, one of my update revelations, getting saved again, was realizing that in taking communion, I am repenting from my independence, and I am acknowledging, embracing that Jesus is my life, my source, my redemption, my power, my healing, my provision. And every time I take communion, I'm acknowledging you're greater than me. The real source is you. That I'm acknowledging I need you. And I need what you have for me. And I don't get any brownie points or any little gold stars when I get to heaven and say, hey, I didn't use any of that stuff. Matter of fact, that's a good way to not get in. You know, do you think you're going to get to heaven and go, oh, I didn't need that. I didn't need healing. That's the wrong answer, son. I didn't need saved. I did pretty good. Oh, geez. The answer would be, oh, but you did. You chose wrongly. Oh, but you did. You did need me. You needed help. You needed fathered. You needed hugged. You needed loved. You needed to know what your name was. You needed to know where you came from. You needed to know who your mama was. You needed to know your father. You need heaven. You need what I have for you. Knock off this independence stuff. No rewards for it, only death. And even if you can polish it up through this life on the planet, at the end you lose. So shall my word be, so we take confidence in the word, and the word when it is sent, and then when you make yourself, your life, a part of that word that comes from heaven and hits the earth and comes and is sent into a situation and is sent into a household and is sent into a community and is sent to wherever that you carry it, that there's this promise attached to it, it doesn't return void. It bears fruit. Whether you see it or not, whether you understand it or not, it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. Sometimes you're in on that, and sometimes you're not. It's the word of God. It's that word to throw it on the ground. It turns into a serpent, scares you to death. Like it's the powerful. It's the word. It's bigger than you. And isn't it in this scripture as well? My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher. Your thoughts, I'm higher than your thoughts. I'm over you. I got this. Like I'm beyond that. I'm not under that. I'm above that. I found this booklet. I've actually ordered more. Weird, weird, weird. I'm getting I think I ordered 5 copies just to give out to people, showing up today from Amazon, like Sunday deliveries. Isn't that strange? Y'all been getting Sunday deliveries? Okay, I didn't ask for it, but yep, they're doing that. So some poor little kid that doesn't know where he is shows up in a van, he doesn't drive very well, and delivers your stuff on an even Sunday afternoon. So here we go. Yeah. Well, we ministered to one the other day. Kevin just got right in there, and he's like being all social distance and lays a package on the ground. I can't touch. It's like, and we're watching it from afar. Kevin, see, a guy got it. I just have to say again, Kevin just was... had his radar on, and he went right through all that. A couple of us were watching, like, oh wow, dude, you just feel the, you know, got my gloves on, got my mask on, got my glasses on, you know, like, I'm protected, I'm, you know, you're not gonna get to me. And Kevin just saw right past that and just reached out to him, starts ministering to his heart, and that all went in about 3 seconds flat, went out the window. And pretty soon you could touch him and you could break through. It wasn't pushing, it was just he opened up. He just opened up to receive. And Kevin gave him a word and sent him on his way. That's the picture. That's the picture. And that's what we're being. Even more so, that's the resistance. That's what, don't come, don't connect, don't show. It's like, oh my gosh, what a plan to suppress who we're supposed to be. So anyways, I picked up, I ordered these books. Something just kind of turned me on to an older man. He's passed away, Derek Prince, a leader. He wrote so much materials. I never could connect with him before. And, you know, I have that in my life. All of a sudden, the lights are on, and I'm hungry, and I'm like, this is the time. And I get a couple little booklets. I mean, it's small. It's called Proclamation, Prayers and Proclamations. Oh, my gosh, it's just ministering to me so much. And it's like, it's the answer. It was answered these questions I've had. I've waited on the Lord, show me. I need to see. And this is the power in proclaiming and bringing a difference, like aligning myself with this. In Hebrews chapter 3, 1, it refers to Jesus. And in my New King James, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So the apostle, high priest, and Jesus wasn't from the tribe of Levi, so the word for high priest is even different there, and it's more like the when it refers to Melchizedek. And he's this king priest. He's this unique person, and we're to consider him. Consider his role. Consider his position over you. He's the confession. He's the Lord and King of our confession. And Derek Prinson, in writing this out, said, no confession, no priest. Oh. And I want to challenge you. Do you make Christ your confession? Do you ponder like the king and priest over your life? Ponder that like as if you've been invited to some special place and you want to consider where you're going, how to dress, how to approach him. Like you've got an appointment to meet with a high dignitary or someone super, like you consider that before you go, right? You don't go casually and like, oh, this is just, you know, another meeting. But you consider, you go, how do I dress? I'm going to go meet somebody or I'm going to a special event. How do I dress? What do I do? How do I approach, you know? Like you consider that. You consider the position, how you align yourself and how you do things, because it's out of the ordinary. And we're to consider this apostle, this king priest that's over us, that we are confessing. So either we confess and don't consider who he is, or we're not confessing him like in an active way. He's not the king of our confession, of our words. No confession, no high priest. I want that priesthood active in my life. I don't want him there as a one-time event. Back in 1968, I asked Jesus into my heart, but I want a present, ongoing, like, connection and presence and connection. So Derek Prince goes on to explain and define that our confession is a, well, let me just read. Proclaim means to shout out. To confess means to say the same as, like align your words with something. Saying the same thing with our mouths as God has already said in his word. So you'll find, we discover this, we talk about it sometimes, the way you talk about yourself. Do you talk about yourself according to what the Lord says about you? Or do you talk about yourself according to your own evaluation of how you're performing? Do you talk about yourself? Do you refer to yourself, your self-talk, and then it's outward? And we're not even going into how we talk about others, but just how you relate to yourself. Do you relate to yourself according to what Jesus says about you? Or do you still have your own evaluation? Here's the problem. You'll never change. You'll never grow into anything if you don't get your confession, which you're speaking what you speak, what you believe. If you don't make that change, you'll continue to keep yourself locked into all of those problems, all those things you don't like, or those things that you think are perfect and that aren't. Our confession, it needs to line up with who he says. And when it does, things start to change and we connect with that. And we make a proclamation, is a confession that is made aggressive. And so often a good worship service is simply that. We're taking confessions and we get aggressive about them. We shout them. We give some physical expression. We engage in that. Why do we love worship? Because it gives us an opportunity to get our minds aligned with words on the billboard back here that are this is the truth and this is what we believe. These are the foundational truth. This is who Jesus says I am. This is who I want to acknowledge that Jesus is. And we confess that. We declare that. It becomes on our lips and on our mouth. And this change begins to happen. In Song of Solomon 6:4, there's this reference to the bride coming out of, you can take a minute to turn there if you have your Bibles, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4, right after Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And this question, who is this coming out of the wilderness? In 6:4, oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. So there is a beauty of an arm, a marching army, and they would hold, we don't have that visual now, but they would hold their banners. It was their identity, and there were banners of victory. It declared how the war went. It declared there was identity in who they were and what where they were from and who they identified. Like, the banners were super, super important, and you could see it from way off. And the victorious army, especially if it was your boys, it was a thing of beauty to see them marching home or see them going anywhere, and they had their banners, like it just spelled victory all over it. And that is to be us, so that we're going forth with proclamation on our lips and with thanksgiving and with praise. And Derek Prince, he accentuates this. He said this is what he discovered years and years, Bible teacher all over. And when he made this adjustment in his ministry, launched his radio broadcast, he went worldwide. Like, things changed. He went, my preaching needs to be proclamation. I need to proclaim the word of God. And he came into a position of authority, and bam, it hooked up. And his ministry exploded, as we would say. It became powerful. It had authority. It moved. It expanded. It grew. It moved because he made this adjustment. And then him and his wife would work hard at putting together confessions and proclamations and declarations, and everything in their life they encountered, they had a declaration for. They'd go through hardships, and instead of complaining about the situation, they would make proclamations about God, what God's promising them in that, and they would give thanksgiving, and they would release praise. More and more, Phyllis and I have come so far from when we used to major in complaining and having opinions about everything. Ourselves, if you have opinions about yourself that aren't right, you'll have opinions about others that aren't right. And pretty soon, that's all your conversation is full of. Do you know that most of us don't like to be around people like that? Have you ever asked yourself why you really don't like to be around this person or that person? Like, what's the real thing? Like, they bug me. Are they this? Are they that? What's really there? Like, I give you permission. Really examine what's going on with someone you don't like to fellowship with. And you'll find there's not proclamation in their life. You'll find there's not thanksgiving. They're not thankful for anything. And there's not praise. They can't pray. I've learned this in my life, to learn how to give praise, even to other people's stuff. Go by someone's house and go, that's a beautiful home. I don't have to compare it to my home. I don't have to be envious of it, and I don't have to find fault in the color of the front door. I can acknowledge beauty. I can give praise to anything that someone has or someone has made. Like, wow, that's a great job. That's a great song. That's a great church. That's a great, like, you're able, you don't have to find fault to feel better about yourself. It's a big accomplishment. We're so ingrained and find, like, I can feel better about myself if I find fault with everybody else. That's not good. You sound wise to yourself. And in the church and in the Christian ministry, we get good at this and pat ourselves on the back. And Jesus is like, oh, Lord, please stop that. Come to a place where your mouth's full of proclamation and aligning yourself with what the truth is. and that we so that we can look like this army with banners going forth. I don't need you to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And you understand then, and I it may even be here in Psalms 33. It'll be the next scripture we look at. Psalms 33. We have to get here with our nation. We have to get here with the trouble that's around us. We have to find this place of influence with the Lord so we can really make a difference. Psalms 33 and 2 Corinthians just says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And there's this sense that it's the Spirit and the Word. And this, do you understand? The spoken Word of God is breath and Word. The letter doesn't necessarily speak. But the spoken word is the mixture of breath and word. And so we want to be careful to have the Spirit. The Spirit always needs to be the Spirit. It needs to be mixed with the Word. That's where the power's at. That's where the juice is. That's why we've got to start speaking the Word in our house, in our secret place, private place. And I've been slow to come into this stuff. I just had blockades and strongholds and like fought it, okay? True confessions of the pastor on Bethesda Road. And I got this little book and I was doing pretty good with this stuff, but I'm like, wow, I just engaged. Like I got the foundational belief system in place and like I've been starting to go, we go to bed at night and I read these declarations over us, over our household. It's a great thing to go to sleep with. Like Phyllis has been begging me, like, you know, to do this stuff. I'm like, you know, whatever my issues were. Our pastor's getting saved. Every week he's, you know, every season he's getting a little closer. He may make it before the end. We've got hopes. That's not even that funny, jeez. Look at verse 9. I'm going to close up real quick here. Words he breathed and worlds, this is out of the Passion Translation, and worlds were birthed. Words he breathed and worlds were birthed. Now that's power. Shazam! That's superhero stuff. Words he breathed. Let there be, and there it was, springing forth the moment he spoke. No sooner said than done. With his breath, he scatters the schemes of nations who oppose him. Hey, 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 yeah. Did you catch that? I want to get on his side. That's where I want to stand. You ever get around, you know, you're in a fight, and there's this big guy standing over there. It looks like he can take everybody on, and all of a sudden you're like, I think I'm going to become his friend. I'm standing over there with him because, you know, he's going to win this fight and I'm going to be with him when he does. Join yourself to the Lord. Like, how blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He scatters the schemes of nations who oppose him. They will never succeed. His destiny plan for the earth stands sure. His forever plan remains in place and will never fail. God has plans for America. We affect the whole world. Like, he's not done with us. We're a little off track, but it's like, he called us into being through the good, bad, and ugly of it all. We have a destiny. We need to believe in that. We need to believe that. And every nation has a destiny. That's why we can celebrate peoples and nations. The Lord doesn't, he doesn't need to erase peoples and nations. He speaks to families. He doesn't want us to lose our identity and be just one family, but he works through families and joins us in this way where you don't lose who you are. It's very unique. It's very special. His destiny plan for the earth stands sure. His forever plan remains in place and will never fail. Blessed and prospered is that nation who has God as their Lord. They will be the people he has chosen for his own. I'm going to close today with one of the declarations out of this little book. I'd love to see a lot of you have this. This is good. If you're, I can help you get it. I can buy it for you. It's good. This is an example of how our language, we need to do, this will bring a change. I don't want to give lectures, but this will change things. If you're looking for answers, if you need to settle the turmoil in your soul, this is how this happens. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that arises against me in judgment I do condemn. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is from you, O Lord of hosts. This is a declaration for confidence in God's protection. You are allowed, I give you permission to do this. If there are those who have been speaking or praying against me, or seeking to harm me, or have rejected me, I forgive them, and name the people if you need to. Having forgiven them, I bless them in the name of the Lord. Now I declare, O Lord, that you and you alone are my God, and besides you there is no other. A just God and a Savior, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I worship you. I submit myself afresh. This is making the king and priest the your confession. This is aligning your confession with him. I submit myself afresh to you today in unreserved obedience. Having submitted to you, Lord, I do as your word directs. I resist the devil, all his pressures, his attacks, his deceptions, every instrument or agent he would seek to use against me. I do not submit. Get an attitude about it. No, I'm not going to yield. You've got to come to that. Like, no, I'm not going to allow myself to be wore down and give up and just go with the flow. What does it matter? It matters. You've not strived against sin to the point of shedding blood, the apostle says. Like, have you fought against it that hard where you shed blood over resisting? I resist him, drive him from me, and exclude him from me in the name of Jesus. Specifically, I reject and repel infirmity. Like, don't accept it. Like, I was just thinking, whatever specifically we were talking about this morning, and like, yeah, we need to fight the infirmities, the sicknesses, the stuff that comes. Like, we've not been aggressive enough about that. I mean, I know we're many of you are doing well, but we're not great at this. We're accepting too many things. I reject and repel infirmity, infection, pain, inflammation, malignancies, allergies, viruses, every form of witchcraft and every type of stress. Finally, Lord, I thank you that through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I've passed out from under the curse and entered into the blessing of Abraham, whom you blessed in all things: exaltation, health, reproductiveness, prosperity, victory, God's favor, and God's friendship. Amen. One little sample. What would we look like? We start muttering this. And we mutter it, and we talk about it, and we put it in our pocket that we have this as our declaration. And you pray, you bless your garden, you bless your house, you bless your vehicles. You say nice things about that car. I wonder how much difference it would make. We cry out for the destiny of our leaders, even if they're not doing well. Somebody had to stick with me through a lot of years that were very rough. Anybody that like, I can't walk with him, I mean, half of the time it's like, I don't blame you. Like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Wow. Stand and call forth the destiny of your children, of the people in your life that you're struggling with. And align yourself with that. Make this our confession, our profession. We'll make a difference. Cry out for our government, our land, our nation. Stop agreeing with the nonsense. Like, no, this doesn't have to come. Doesn't it feel like waves of hopelessness hit you? Like, you go, oh, is this ever going to end? And it's like, don't do that. Declare good things. Declare Psalms 33 over our nation. And there are a lot of scriptures, a lot of scriptures that make good declaration about who we are, what we are, that we're under God's blessing and commit it. Let us be. This is our job. This is our job, our position. No one else is going to fulfill this. The church needs to arise and become full of declaration, praise, proclamation, praise, thanksgiving. And will change. This is a lot of patriots, God love them, don't believe in the power of prayer. They don't believe in the power of this. Who's going to show them? The question is, do we believe? So let's pray. Father, we repent today from our unbelief, from falling under, from giving up. Hopelessness comes in as waves, and we put down our sword. We just let it wash over us sometimes, and we just repent from that. Father, I ask for a quickening. I've been asking that for myself, that you quicken my spirit, that I come fully alive in every area, and I ask for a quickening to come across our people, that we be fully alive in these days, that we can be your mouthpieces, that we can stand as sons on the earth, reaching up towards heaven and calling down what is in heaven for this earth, for this planet, for this nation, committing our times and our seasons into your hands. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. Have a good day.